You're listening to Write Along Radio, a podcast for the love, art, and business of writing.
Hello, and welcome to Write Along Radio. I'm your host, writing coach, and author, Kevin Johns.
And I am also your host, author, blogger, awesome person, a little self-inflated, Catherine Brunell. Anyways, guys, hi.
Hello. Catherine, what have we got happening on the show today?
We are going to be talking with we're not buddies, but I really admire what she's done, and I always enjoy talking to her. Stacey Atkinson is on the show today. Stacey has produced this beautiful novel. It's fiction. It's about this young woman who lives on the East Coast, kind of finding her way out of a small town situation. I mean, she feels small town. The book is called Stuck. She's won a Benjamin Franklin Award for that book. It has the most beautiful cover design.
Wow.
I mean, it's up there with yours, Kevin. I mean, I think you guys both have beautiful cover designs. She also has an honorable mention for the Writer's Digest Self-Published Book Awards.
What?
Yeah, I know, exactly. So I thought, we need to get Stacey on this show to talk about the award system. But also, Stacey is an editor. So for part of the interview, we talk about awards. And for the other part, we talk about editing. And we kind of brainstorm ideas about how people can afford an editor.
Being able to afford an editor is a really common problem, especially with the aspiring authors that I work with. The reality is it's not cheap at all to hire a professional quality editor. And so I think the fact that you and Stacey brainstormed on some alternatives or some ways it might be more affordable for people, that's some really useful information I think the listeners want to hear.
I'm not sure if we came to a ultimate solution with this conversation. I think we just kicked a few ideas around.
I think if you don't have the money to hire someone and if you don't have the patience to go through the query process, then you need to be crafty. If you're going to be an indie artist on the cheap, you're going to have to be smart about it, right? You're going to have to figure out ways. So, you guys throw around some ideas, but I think whether you're an indie filmmaker or an indie author, it's all about figuring out how to turn that little budget into something that feels like it has high production value. So I think indie authors need to, get creative when it comes to figuring out how to get their book edited.
Of course, that is also a vague answer. So we're saying get creative, go. Which is, it's true, but I don't know if it's concrete. But one thing I do think is blogging. Blogging. If you want to get your stuff out there, you don't have an editor, you're not at the moment in that draft where it's going to become a book because it's not edited. I think blogging is a good and very easily forgiven form to put your writing out there to get feedback from people reading. Personally, I'm a lot more forgiving. I mean, not an article, but a blog post. I'll be more forgiving.
You assume most blogs aren't edited.
Right. I don't know. Every article I read is edit your blog post before you put it up. But that's slightly garbage because as a frequent blogger, I wouldn't get anything up if I was constantly agonizing over it.
Exactly.
It's just not the medium, you know?
Okay. Let's talk awards.
Okay. Let's talk awards now because Kevin has opinions.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable about awarding the arts. I don't think you create art to win a competition. You create it to express something or to create something beautiful or to connect with an audience. And it doesn't have anything to do with putting it up against another similar work of art and then declaring one better than the other. Because ultimately, any award is going to be so subjective to the judges. At least the Academy Awards in Hollywood, the Academy is made up of previous Oscar winners. So at least you have, it's a bit more democratic where you have the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences and then you have this body of artists who have previously been successful voting. But all the same, I mean, it's whoever has the biggest campaign in Variety and It's fun to get dressed up and go to award ceremonies, and I think it's a great thing for an author to be able to throw an award on their book cover or in their sales copy. But I mean, I would certainly, never say never, but I would have a really hard time sitting on a judging panel of some sort of book competition.
I mean, I think you make a really good point. We don't I don't write to win an award. I write because I like to write. But that being said, writing itself is challenging in that if you go into a bookstore, what do you see? You see a bunch of spines, right? You see hundreds of titles presented to you at once. So all at once. As a reader who knows nothing about these hundreds of books that are all around you, how do you choose? And for someone who isn't the writer, the award is a mark. So I wonder if we want to be read, maybe these are things we have to put up, like we have to play the game with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you and I were going to go to the Ottawa Book Awards. Some things happened, we weren't able to go. But, you know, I'm sure it would have been a lovely ceremony. It would have been a fun event. There's not that many opportunities to kind of get together and celebrate the arts. I just feel it's unfortunate that it kind of has to be done in this competitive environment. And it's not like I'm against competition. Like, I love sport. I love hockey. And I love going up against an opponent and challenging myself. And I love the drama of wins and losses. I love that in the physical realm of game and sport and fitness. But I just don't know if it works for me in the realm of art and literature.
I just think putting aside the competition aspect, it's needed just from the perspective of the buying aspect. Or do we want people to see the art we're creating? And I do. So it's just like, why would you put time and energy into designing a nice cover? You didn't write the book so you could have a nice cover, but you need that cover to be recognized.
Definitely.
Here's my thing. I mean, I think you make a really good point about not writing a book to win an award. I like that point. And my other thing about awards, again, it's super freaking impressive. Like, I'm impressed with Stacey and all she's put forward. And it's super impressive when your book gets picked for a shortlist or to be honored or whatever. Like, that's an exciting moment. However, what I don't like is the submission fees. They tick me off. And I'd honestly rather submit my writing, you know, to another blogger or to a magazine of sorts where I even have a chance of getting paid.
Yeah.
Than to submit to an award or many awards for like $25-$50. And I know they need to pay the judges because that's a lot of work, but I'm just not hot for it.
Yeah, I guess the second there's kind of that entrance fee, you could start to question, you know, are they really doing this to celebrate your book or are they doing it just to make some cash? And I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing both. You know, if you love books and you want to make a business of it, you put together an award ceremony, you do all this work, you probably deserve to get paid. But at the same time, as an author, I can see how you kind of get frustrated with it.
Well, as Stacey says in the interview that I guess we should throw to, basically she's researched a lot of them. So she's kind of seen what's really valid, what isn't as much. And that's actually something we talk about in the interview. So why don't we just throw to it?
Yeah, let's get to that interview now.
So I am really thrilled to have the really talented Ottawa writer Stacey Atkinson with us today. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks so much for inviting me on the show.
It's total pleasure. Today I have two goals with Stacey, because Stacey is both a writer and an editor. And obviously she's been submitting her books to different award opportunities. So I want to talk about awards with you, Stacey, and I think we'll also dive in later into the world of editing and specifically how authors can budget editing into their plans or how maybe they should be looking at incorporating an editor into their work. So let's start with the fun stuff. You recently received, I saw this on Facebook, I was really thrilled for you when I saw it, the honorable mention with the Writer's Digest Self-Published Book Award, which I imagine is a very competitive award. I bet a lot of people sent stuff in.
I think it is recognizable, so probably people know about it and send in, but I just feel like you have to try. You have to, if you've finished a novel or any piece of work, and you know, you put it out there, you put it for sale, you do promotion on it, but why not try to apply for these awards? And you know what? You just might win. like in my case, you just might win.
Yes, you've been doing particularly well. Stacey's novel is a great book. I read it. It's about this young woman who lives in New Brunswick and feels as though she's very much stuck in her life, right?
Exactly.
And it's kind of that experience of getting unstuck, breaking out. And it's very well written. And the cover, as we've talked in the past, is gorgeous. So I think you have a really beautiful product. Did you feel like this could possibly be a great, I suppose you must have, contender when you submitted it?
Well, it's interesting because I got onto the idea of book awards. I started researching them. And then I saw that there were different categories, like an award for a book cover design. If you win that, you know, you're still promoting your book and you're still getting a sticker and you're still coming up with news and new things to talk about for your book, which creates more interest. So even the design, there's some awards for best editing. There's awards for best books in all different genres, like fiction, nonfiction, children's books, short stories, novellas, cover design, and all kinds of things. So if you set your goal on it, that you want to try to throw your hat in this ring, which I totally encourage people to do, I'm sure there's one out there for every writer out there. And then there's also one specifically for self-published authors, which I really encourage authors to kind of stick in that vein, because the other ones I researched, they're dominated, and rightly so, because perhaps they're even funded by some of the major publishing houses, right?
Well, that's, yeah.
And it's just a different ball game. It has to do with people recognizing the title, seeing it in bookstores, acknowledging the major publishing house. And it's just, you know, I think you're just wasting your money. Because that's another thing, too, is there is a fee to apply to these awards. Right? So you do have to start with thinking, what's your budget? I didn't particularly start that way. I think I found one and I applied, and then I found a few more, and then I had to start really being strategic, because you can't apply to every single one.
You can't. And that actually brings my question up. How many award opportunities, I don't even know what to say, award opportunities? Contests. Mm-hmm. That's probably the right word. How many of them have you applied to? And at what point did you become strategic, and how do you become strategic?
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet. I'm very organized. And the spreadsheet is divided into opportunities in Canada and then opportunities in the States. I didn't really look other outside of that. I know there's some Commonwealth type awards, which as Canadians we could be part of, but I pretty much just stuck to North America. And then between those two, I think overall I may have applied to about 10 awards or contests.
Oh, that's totally reasonable. I was thinking you applied more.
No, I didn't. I didn't, because I was very, very strategic. Because if you look at the categories, you look at the competition, you see how many people apply. There was actually one I applied to, which I would encourage everyone to do because it's free and it's really high profile, and it's called the Amazon First Novel Award.
I've heard of that award.
Yeah, so now that our first novels are done, yours as well, we can't apply to this one anymore.
Right.
But it's free, and it goes through about 4 rounds of judging. And so, you know, I applied to that one, but I didn't make it through the first round.
I know someone who did.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, he wrote this crazy kind of character who was like Calvin Hobbes. But it was very interesting because he was saying that once he was through the first round, it was really about networking behind the scenes. You had to read other people's stories. They had to read yours. You had to vote for them. They would vote for you. And I'm wondering, I don't know. That sounded a bit ridiculous in some ways.
Well, there you go. There's different approaches to all these awards. And the one thing I definitely wanted to make sure I said in our talk today is there are almost as many fake awards as there are real ones. And they'll take your money. So really do your homework. And that was another thing that I put on my organized spreadsheet, is I have a whole page on fake awards that keep coming up. You'll even see ads for them. Start investigating them a little bit. You'll see that they all kind of lead back to some of the same names in your... I'd be happy to share this information, actually, with anybody.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I can share the awards that I apply to, those kind of top 10.
Yeah.
And I could also share some that I just wouldn't, you know.
You wouldn't. So where would people find that? Like, do you want them to... Would they message you for that list, or would you put it on your blog, or where is it?
Well, you know what I will do now that I just put that out there? I will put it on my blog.
Great. Okay, and we'll link it.
I'll put my top 10, and then I'll put some to pass over.
So what's a sign that someone should just keep moving when they find an award that comes up? As in, it's fake.
Okay, so the website has a lot of ads.
Mm.
And there's like neon font.
I think that's good, like, marketing tip for anybody. If you end up on a website with a lot of ads and neon fonts and things flashing.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. New. Things flashing, and it's not, you know, too difficult to spot them.
So how does it feel? I mean, you've done very well in 2 awards. 2 out of 10, I'm very impressed, and I think that speaks well to your book, because, you know, when you have an award or a contest, in some ways it's about the quality of the book, but there's also a lot of luck involved,
mm-hmm.
and the way people's moods are and what they've eaten and how they feel that day. Mm-hmm. So it's quite impressive that you got 2. How does it feel?
It feels great. Sometimes it's a little surreal. I mean, everybody hopes their first novel is going to be this amazing breakthrough, and everyone is going to all of a sudden see this talent that's been hidden for years behind this former government worker, and just going to absolutely wonder where this person was hiding all their life. But really, truly, I think the best we can do is work really, really hard at our writing. Rewrite, mm-hmm. edit. That might be a segue to our next topic.
Yes, we'll do this.
And just do your absolute best. Read a lot. See what other people are putting out there. Really, really good established authors.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the best you can do. And then you have to give your book a life and a profile out in the public. And that's where I think it's really important to set up a website, engage in social media. And I've done some research that basically said Facebook is still number one for mm-hmm. engaging and networking and having shares of your information. Twitter.
You have quite an active Facebook page.
I try.
It's cute. I like all the writing stuff that come up. I really do.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't like to just say, hey, everybody, I wrote a book, you should buy it, and then talk, and then post that every day, right? Because when you really think about it, how are you going to promote yourself as an author and your book? So what I've chosen to do is share, obviously, cat photos, because...
obviously. Mandatory.
And some really funny grammar tips.
Yeah.
Some writing tips. Other books, other people, other authors that I find interesting. And just have a persona and a profile online.
So when you win the award, I mean, what do you do next with that? I saw your book in Chapters the other day, and it had the Ben Franklin sticker on mm-hmm. it, which I thought looked very, very good.
Mm.
But do you have like a plan of attack for after you win the award? Is there a sort of strategy you follow?
By winning the award, there's a couple of things you can do. One is you get a visual. So you have some kind of sticker, or the sticker itself, or the sticker on your actual cover, book cover. Mm. And I think it's important to share that online, and posts that have images in them are 50% more liked and shareable than just straight text ones. So it gives people something to look at and to like and, you know, send their congratulations. And then there's a few more stories you could tell from that. Like you can say, oh, this is how the award night went, or
right.
here's a photo of me looking nervous, waiting for them. Are they going to call my name? You know, you could build a bit of a story around it, and it's news.
It's news.
And it's hard to spend, say, a couple of years writing a book, launch the book, have your book launch, be really proud and excited, and then it gets quiet.
Exactly.
It gets really quiet. And what's really cool about the book awards is you apply sometimes 6 to 12 months in advance. Mm-hmm. So here I just found out about the Writer's Digest one, and it's been 14 months. since I launched my book. So all of a sudden, just like a gift out of the sky, is this piece of news that I can share with people, and it just keeps the news going on that you're still out there.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's something we need to think about. How do we find a new way to talk about the book? Or a new way to present a different story about the book? The same with book launches. I had my book launch about 6 months after the book came out. But that was good because it had gone very quiet. So there's just different ways, and it's really nice that you bring up the issue of news and how to talk about a book. Keep it fresh. Yeah. So do you want to tell your website and the blog where this very sounds practical, useful list of your experience, the top awards, and those to avoid will be found?
Sure. So my website contains my blog, and it is my full name, so www.stacydatkinson.com, and that's Stacy spelled E-Y. And once you get on there, you'll see the blog. And I do recall in the last 6 months or so blogging about awards because I was really excited and I wanted to tell people about it. But I will refresh that and add a few more because I think I listed maybe like the top three or four.
Okay, great. Yeah. And can you shoot me a link when you do? And then I'll
absolutely, yeah.
We'll put it up in the notes. Mm-hmm. It's in the show notes, guys, if you're listening. Scroll down and look at it and click over Stacy's blog. as you were talking about before, and as I mentioned in the beginning, it's really important as a writer to write and rewrite. And maybe in some ways that's really the best gift you can give your book is a beautifully produced final product, which includes editing. And so I was really excited, really wanted to chat with you today because I was thinking about this the other day. I just keep hearing this over and over, writers saying, we know we need editors, but we can't afford editors. Or perhaps they just don't even know. I mean, it seems like an idea that's almost so big in people's minds that they don't even begin to chip at the mental iceberg of it. So I thought we could kind of speculate here, brainstorm how people can afford an editor in their writing. Because you are an editor. I should say... Stacy is an editor as well as a writer.
Yes, so I can see it from both sides. Now, an interesting perspective I have is when I was writing my book, I was not an editor. I went back to school and got fascinated with the whole editing process, and then eventually launched an editing career about a year and a half ago. But through the majority of the writing process, I was that person who was unclear of what exactly an editor's role is. I did know at the time that I didn't feel, or I should say it the other way, I had insecurities about my writing, and I really wanted someone to look at it because my worst fear was that it was going to be bad and that the grammar would be bad. And that people would laugh at me, you know, worst fear. And people, friends would be like, oh, isn't that great?
Oh,
good for you.
It should be sweet. Yeah.
You know, you think of what your worst fear is. The worst fear is that you produce something that's not good. But an editor, I mean, I think if you're going to spend money on anything, you should spend money on your cover design and on an editor. It is so important because with the cover design, your book is judged by its cover. It is. You need someone to pull it off the shelf and actually look at it in order to get closer to, you know, the checkout counter. And then with the editor, I mean, this is someone you're paying that knows your genre. That's the thing. Like, you should pick one. If you write fiction, you should pick an editor who has edited fiction. If you write nonfiction, same thing.
That's a good tip. So find an editor who works in your genre.
Definitely. Short stories. If you want to turn your blogs into a book, you know, find someone who knows the tone of the voice that's used in blogging. So you find an editor in your genre, but I think it's absolutely mandatory for everybody to hire an editor. And it's not because you're not a good writer. Like, I did tell you I had insecurities for myself, but besides that, there will be mistakes.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
You can't write 80,000 words in a novel and not make a mistake, and your brain starts to not see them anymore because you know what you meant to write.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, you need a proofreader. At the very least. And then there's other stages where you can go into deeper editing.
Right. You have a blog post on this on your blog called Do You Know What Type of Editing to Ask For?
Yes.
And there's several different types. There's four you listed. So we'll start with the smallest and we'll work to the biggest. Proofreading,
mm-hmm.
which is just, you know, fixing the final review, as you said in your post. Copy editing, which is where they go through and find the grammar errors, the spelling errors, the maybe you use the wrong word there, errors. Then there's stylistic editing, which seems more in-depth, which is kind of the grooming of a sentence or the polishing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I got.
Yep, absolutely. Because maybe I have a great book idea and I put it all together and it's in the right order, but I didn't express my ideas very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And then structural editing, which is the big rework.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a man. say a writer comes up to you and says, I know I need an editor. How are they going to know which type of editing they need?
Well, that's the thing. Most people say, I need a copy edit. Okay. That's what they say. And they don't necessarily know that that means something very specific. So most editors should ask questions of the client to help gauge the level of it, and they should look at samples. So you could send, so as an author, you could send the first chapter to an editor, and the editor would probably ask for it anyways, and then they could determine, you know what, this looks fine. I think you just need a quick proofread. Or they're going to say, okay, there are quite a few grammar errors, punctuation, problems here. Instead of being able to proofread 10 pages an hour, I think I'm only going to be able to get through 5 an hour on your book. And so that's how the editor starts to come up with the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be good, besides my blog, thanks for mentioning that, by the way. There is the Editors Association of Canada, and their website's really easy to remember. It's editors.ca, and they explain all of this on their website. So if you're an author and you're finishing your book and you've read it 8 times and you just can't possibly look at it anymore, you should take a quick look at that website and just read about the different types of editing and just kind of know the language a bit so you could have a good conversation with a prospective editor.
Okay, now here are some ideas I had for authors who want to be able to afford an editor.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot them at you. And you tell me what you think. Okay. So number one, if writing a full-length novel, that takes a long time. I mean, okay, some people do it in a month, but a lot of people take at least a year, maybe 2 years, maybe even longer to write it.
Mm-hmm.
So could somebody either get in touch with an editor and find out their fee for whatever kind of thing they're going to need, say stylistic editing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say like not the biggest, but pretty big. Mm-hmm. Could you do like a payment plan, or do you think they should just perhaps put X number of dollars away a month? Would that, do you think that's a reasonable thing for a writer to do, or is that hard?
I think that could work. I do think that could work because I know, for example, I'm working on a new book and I have an editor and I send her sections at a time.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
So that is exactly what I've been doing, and it helps the budget. It also helps to keep me motivated because I know I told her I would send her something in 2 months. And as the 2-month deadline is looming, even though I've hired her, it's almost a role reversal where you feel accountable because you said you were going to give something to someone at a certain time. You feel that deadline and it helps push me to finish the next piece. So, absolutely, I think you could send chapters or sections at a time. The editor would keep a style sheet so they know that in chapter 1 your author's name was Arthur and that by chapter 10 it turned to Arnold, you know, because it might be like 10 months apart and she's going to remember the names.
Right.
And then at the end, when all the pieces are in, she should do one more final read. Because as an author, you might have gone back and tweaked a bit of the first few chapters in the last few months as well.
I like that. That sounds good. Here's my second idea. Sometimes I think people don't want to hire an editor because they don't think they're going to make back the money they invest. Maybe you don't have the money, but otherwise, what's the inhibition?
Mm-hmm.
Unless if you think you're not going to make it back. So in that case, I was thinking perhaps people should start writing novellas rather than novels.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter stories. Because if you're going to sell a book for 99 cents,
mm-hmm.
there's kind of that idea of how much time do you put in versus how much money can you spend, can you make,
mm-hmm.
.. And I guess what I'm asking in this question is, how much do you think it would cost to edit a novella, which is about, let's say, 20,000 words?
Okay. Well, before I answer that, I do have to comment.
Yeah, please.
On the first thing you said about not making the money back.
Yeah. Let's talk about
that. Yeah. I get it, because it's a big chunk of money to pay someone to help get you to the finish line. But I'm telling you, just think of your own perspective. If you read a book that has errors, you start to formulate an opinion on the publisher, on the author. You might start to lose interest. You're not going to win any book awards.
True. nice tie back. I like that.
There's going to be problems. And I think we all, as authors, owe it to ourselves to put the best possible product out there that we have control over and that we can do. So I think it's
so great.
Yeah, at all costs, you need to find a way to have somebody look at your manuscript and help you find those things that you just can't see anymore for yourself. So I would hope that authors would understand the value.
If you're serious about your novel and you want it to be, you know, a result of your work and also perhaps one day a stream of income,
mm-hmm.
take it, you know, consider it as a long-term investment in your career and people thinking about you as a writer. Yeah.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Long-term investment. The idea of a novella, I think, makes perfect sense, because ebook, if you want to do an ebook, length isn't so important anymore.
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
With ebooks.
Yeah. So that's a really easy space to get into. You can set up accounts either with each of the ebook distributors. Like, you could do one with Apple, you could do one with Kobo, one with Barnes & Noble. You could do them all yourself, or go with an aggregator like Smashwords, and they would send it all out to everybody on your behalf. But it's so easy that you could easily do a shorter novella. It's a way to actually, in some cases, just finish your book. Because 20,000 words is easier to write, you would think, than 100,000.
In theory.
Yes.
Don't insult the novella writers,
right.
But, you know, less time.
Thank you. I didn't mean it that way at all.
No, I know you didn't. Whatever.
A little quicker. Maybe I meant to say a little quicker.
I write novellas, and I think that they're easier than novels. For sure.
But they are an art form all unto their own. I mean, you've got to do that narrative arc in 20,000 words as opposed to spreading it all over. So the price.
Generally.
Yeah.
Ballpark.
If you think you can expect an editor to charge starting at maybe $25 an hour, and that's actually considered pretty low.
Yeah.
$25, I have colleagues who charge $6.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, editors are freelancers. It's not like they're getting a full-time salary. You have to fill the cracks. So if anybody's like aghast at that, it's not the same thing as being paid full-time.
Exactly. You're running your own business. You have overhead. You know, there's consultants out there that charge $200 an hour. But editors generally charge about $40 to $60 an hour. But there are some that charge less. And then if they can get through your manuscript more quickly, like I was saying before, if it's a proofread and it really is in good shape, they might be able to get through 10 pages an hour, as opposed to maybe a stylistic edit. It could be 1 to 2 pages an hour, because they're working on each sentence. They're doing the line editing.
Yeah.
So if you think 20,000 words and they can get through 10 pages, typical page is 250 words.
God.
Okay. So now we're down to 80 pages. And then if you can get through a fast 10 pages an hour, we're looking at 8 hours, but let's say it's 10 because there's some back and forth, there's some phone calls, and it's 10 hours. So if you can find an editor who is good, who's experienced in your genre, $25 an hour times 10 hours, you're looking at $250.
Right. Which sounds a lot more reasonable.
Yeah.
If, in terms of, you know, cost put in. Mm-hmm. Although, so I think still, if anybody's listening, it's still probably a good idea to start putting that money away a little bit at a time if you're trying to afford an editor, even if you're going for the short term, unless you have $250 burning in your pocket. But yeah, that is interesting. And if you sell it at 99 cents, because I think a lot of readers nowadays, when they buy the ebooks, they don't necessarily consider the difference between a 20,000 word novella versus an 80,000 word novel. And I wouldn't be surprised if things actually start changing to become shorter if things stay at the price point they are. Mm-hmm. So thank you for mulling this over with me. And do you have any ideas?
Well, we had briefly chatted earlier about crowdfunding. There are some that are specifically for authors, which I haven't been on, but I have friends who have done it. Like one's called Pub Slush, I believe. And I'm sure you could do Indiegogo, or there's some other more arts-based platforms. That is a way. I know someone who wasn't successful, and I asked her why. And she thought it was because the book wasn't written. Her campaign was, can you help fund me so I can write this, like take 3 to 6 months and dedicate my time to write it. And she thought that maybe if the book was written and the campaign was actually to print it, that people might have felt like there was, I don't know, more credibility to the...
I think that is an extremely important point that you just raised, that when you're crowdfunding, if you have a manuscript ready, it makes you look more legit. Even if she was going to take the time and to produce it, I think there's something about having a tangible product. So people are crowdfunding. And what do you think they should budget?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to crowdfund and you have an opportunity to actually get enough money to do the project right, like you should ask for it. So you might want to budget for at least $1,000 for an editor, because you might want to get a full copy edit done.
Yeah.
And then have an editor do the quick proofread once it's typeset and laid out. You have some printing costs, the cover design.
Oh, yeah.
You could add in all of that. So, yeah, maybe I have seen campaigns as low as $800, and I find that quite low. I would say at least a couple of thousand.
Yeah, it's very scrappy. So I did my campaign. I was asking for $3,000, and I got more. I got in the 7,000.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it was fantastic. But I have to say, it cost definitely $3,000 to put that book together. I wouldn't suggest people ask for less unless you're really keen on doing it all yourself.
Right.
And I mean all. Almost all yourself. But an editor is something probably that I found extremely useful, and I don't suggest people do themselves. Definitely put that in one way or another.
You're just reminding me, I have thought about this before, and I did write a blog post about it maybe 2 to 3 months ago, and it was the step of self-publishing. And I think I came up with about 9 or 10 steps. I probably made 10 to round it up to say the top 10 steps. And because I've been through it, and because I understand the editing process now, it really laid out the steps. And everybody has inherent skill. So if I happen to be a graphic designer, I might want to do my own cover, and then I could take care of that. Like, we all have some strengths. But basically, they were the 10 steps that you just cannot skip. And some, hopefully, you can do yourself. And I would say the whole process would be at least about $5,000.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable. Yeah. I did a lot myself, to be honest.
And then you do it yourself, and you can start to bring the price down. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But it does take time, so this is always the thing. Time versus money.
That's true. Project management. There's like Project a diagram, management. Right? It's a triangle. It says human resources, money, and time.
And that's the secret thing they don't tell you about being a writer. You may also become a business person. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for talking with me about this. Again, why don't you just give us your website one more time?
So again, it's www.stacydatkinson.com. And I blog about writing and editing and fun stuff and awards and whatever I think of, because my mind is always in self-publishing. And when I find stuff, I just want to tell people.
Yeah. And do you have a separate page for your editing, you know, business, or is it all combined?
I do, actually. So that is called mirroragepublishing.com. And that's where you can find out more information about different editing services and some researching services that I offer.
Great. Okay, so thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
And we're back.
So there was a great interview with author and editor Stacey Atkinson.
So if you're listening to this podcast, wherever you're listening to it from, and you want to leave a comment, we invite you to stop over at our website for the podcast, writealongradio.com, and just leave your thoughts about, you know, award ceremonies or submitting to awards, or how to hire an editor. I know it was kind of a split conversation today, so whatever you want to talk about, we'd like to talk about it. All right, so thank you very much again to Stacey Atkinson. Her book is Stuck, and if you want to find her online, you can head over to her website at stacydatkinson.com.
All right, see you guys next time.
Take care.
I feel like we should give the URLs to our website. Where can we find out more about the awesome Catherine Brunell?
My website, like seriously, my website? Oh, it's CatherineBrunell.com. Oh, okay, Kevin, where can people find you?
At KevinTJohns.com.
Right on. I mean, I don't know if we need to. I want people to go to Write Along Radio
and
subscribe and check out the blog and comment. So let's say that one right now while we're here. Write Along Radio. .com, spelt as it sounds. There's nothing complicated here.
Except anyways, they might think it's left? No, right along radio.
Right. Okay, yes.